Welcome to the Dior land of fairy tales. Abel and the Bees. In Abel's bedroom, everything was ready for the new school year. His school bag was filled with new pencil cases containing new sharpened pencils. His favourite outfit, a blue cotton polo shirt and matching Bermuda shorts, lay on the back of his chair. But the boy was in a bad mood. He wished the summer holidays could last a little longer, even just a few days, so he could dive into the frog pond or run through the tall grass among the grasshoppers one last time. He muttered to himself, "If only there was no such thing as school." No sooner had he said those words, a bee appeared out of nowhere, as if by magic, and began to zigzag around his head before slipping away through the keyhole. Intrigued, Abel tried to go after her. He rushed to turn the doorknob and pull the door open. But instead of emerging onto the landing, he found himself in a kind of yellow and orange tunnel. The ground was sticky, and a sweet smell tickled his nostrils. The bee came to rest on his shoulder and said in a little voice, "Follow me." Guided by the buzzing, the child stepped cautiously forward, though with each step, it seemed to him that the corridor got narrower. In the distance, he saw a well of light. He moved faster and at the end of the tunnel, found himself in a classroom. Children of all ages sat at their desks. Like him, they seemed to be in the middle of a dream. With a loud crash, the back door suddenly burst open and a bee of considerable size appeared. Picking up a stick of white chalk, she wrote on the blackboard, "If only there was no such thing as school." She then turned to the children.
"Dear students, let me introduce myself. I am the director of the bees. If you are here, it is because you have all said the phrase, if only there was no such thing as school. And, as director of the bees, I would like to show you something that will soon change your mind. Or, at least, I hope so."
The stunned children didn't dare to move an inch, and the director of the bees continued.
"Here is some advice for the flight. Do not cling to the wings. They are fragile, and they are certainly not made for that. Strong winds can be dangerous, so remember to hold on tight when going fast."
Abel barely had time to register this information when a deafening buzz sounded and a troop of giant bees swept in through the classroom windows. One of them landed next to him, inviting him to climb on her back.
"Hello, my name is Merve. Are you going to get on?"
she asked. Abel hesitated. But when he saw the other children getting on their bees, he decided to climb onto his new mount. Merveille took off like a shot, exiting through a classroom window and rapidly ascending into the air. The boy clung on with all his might. Looking down, he saw the roof of his house and his garden, both of which seemed enormous. That's when he understood that the bees were not colossal, but rather that he had become tiny. Together, they flew over the city and headed for the countryside. It didn't take long for Abel to recognize the frog pond and the fields of tall grass. He happily exclaimed, "This is where I spent my summer holiday." Merveille replied,
"Well, this is where I work. I'm going to introduce you to the world of worker bees. Let's head to the hive."
The bees swooped into one of the honeycomb cells at speed, landing inside.
"Final stop. Everybody off,"
she announced to the child. Abel slid off her back and took in the incredible spectacle unfolding before his eyes. Thousands of workers were busy at their tasks. Merveille went to position herself at the entrance, saying,
"Today, it's my turn to ensure the safety of the hive."
"You look like a royal guard defending a castle," said the child.
We are called guard bees, but as you will see, there are all kinds of roles in our fortress. Go on, go explore!
The boy left Merveille at her post and ventured into this mysterious world. At each turn, he passed bees hard at work. First of all, the cleaners who kept the hive healthy and tidy. Then, the nurse bees, who took great care of the baby bees, feeding them royal jelly. A little further on, he watched the unusual sight of bees frantically fanning their wings to control the temperature. As he continued on his way, the boy was jostled by an architect bee, who told him in a stern voice,
"Watch out! I have wax walls to build!"
As a result of peeking into the different cells, Abel soon got lost. He asked the workers for help, but they seemed far too busy to answer him. Exhausted, he huddled up in a corner and waited. Before long, something tickled his nose. The boy looked up to find a whirlwind of gold dust swirling before him. Then it rolled up on itself at lightning speed before bursting like fireworks. When the effect faded, a real-life gentleman had appeared.
"Are you a magician?"
the boy asked.
"No, I'm not a magician. But, on the other hand, I do know the magic formula to get here."
And the gentleman whispered,
"If only there was no such thing as school. I said this same sentence myself many years ago. And since then, I have often come to visit the bees. What a pleasure to see all these workers working with such passion. They remind me of my own little hive when I showed my first collection."
The boy wasn't sure he understood, so the gentleman explained further as he led him into the hive.
"My name is Christian Dior, and I am a couturier. My job is to dream up extraordinary dresses. But you see, creating a dress is more than the work of just one person. It takes a whole army of seamstresses, because some dresses require more than 500 hours to make. Thanks to the talents of the seamstresses, whom I affectionately call the bees, we are able to do amazing things. And it's exactly the same here. Let's go meet the queen. She will explain it to you better than I can."
"The queen? Are we meeting a queen?"
Abel asked excitedly. The couturier and the boy finally arrived at the heart of the hive. The other children he had seen in class were already there. Suddenly, a bee more impressive than the others emerged in the middle of the assembly. This was the queen. She called out,
"Bring the treasure!"
The guards began arriving in a line, each holding a piece of golden honeycomb in its claws. Merveille, who was at the head of the column, presented hers to the queen, who thanked her before addressing the workers.
"Beloved bees, what would your perfect day be like?"
The bees began to answer all together.
"I would go foraging from morning until evening," said one. "I would go on a trip to the end of the world," said another.
"I'd stuff myself with gooseberry jam," suggested a third.
Abel thought what he would do.
"I would dive in the pond with the frogs, and I would run among the tall grasses with the grasshoppers."
Suggestions flew thick and fast until the queen spoke once more.
"We would most definitely all have fun, but in the process, we would lose the most precious thing we have, our savoir-faire. Even though I am the queen, it is impossible for me to make honey. To produce this treasure, I need each one of you. And what a reward we have here! These little golden delicacies remind us each day of why we work so hard. It is the same for you, children. School is your beehive. You are surrounded by your classmates, with whom you spend as much time learning as having fun. And these shared moments are just as precious as our honey. Never forget that." All the bees began beating their wings to salute the queen's wisdom. Then, the guards shared out pieces of honeycomb among the children.
A bell bit into his.
It was so delicious. He closed his eyes to enjoy it. His thoughts went to the courage and enthusiasm of the worker bees and inspired a fresh excitement about returning to school and his friends again. When he opened his eyes again, the queen, the bees, and the hive had all vanished. Instead, standing in front of him was his teacher, and sitting all around him were his friends. Abel was in class. It was back to school day. The teacher picked up a piece of white chalk and wrote on the blackboard, "Describe, in a few lines, something you learned during your summer holidays." Abel took a sharp pencil from his new pencil case and wrote the title of his composition on the fresh page.
"If there was no such thing as school, then it would have to be invented."